Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And we're in our third week of the Faith Under Fire Galatians series. And so I'm going to just share tonight a few thoughts on salvation without the law. And as I was thinking about this, I went to the Department of Motor Vehicles website in the U.S. and came up with some unusual laws about driving in the United States. And I want to give a few of them to you. One in Tennessee, and you have to know about Tennessee. Tennessee is a landlocked state. It doesn't touch the ocean anywhere. And it is illegal to shoot game other than whales from moving vehicles in Tennessee. I don't understand where that came from, but, and then Alabama, it's illegal for a driver to be blindfolded while operating a vehicle. I think sometimes in Kuwait, maybe we've got some blindfolded folks, but that's a good one. In Alaska, it's illegal to tie a dog to the roof of your car. I read one somewhere, I can't remember where it was. It's illegal to spit from a car, but if you're in a pickup truck, it's okay. California, it's illegal in San Francisco to buff your car with used underwear. Okay, so don't use your underwear to buff your car. And also, looking at this one in California, no unoccupied vehicles may exceed 60 miles per hour. Nevada, it is illegal to drive a camel on the highway. Oklahoma, it's illegal to read a comic book while driving. Now, some of these are just ridiculous. Some of them are completely irrelevant. So why did I give you those few little funny laws? Well, in the book of Galatians, what we're studying now is there was a group of people from Jerusalem that came and tried to impose some irrelevant and totally unneeded laws upon the Christians. It made no sense for Paul to force the Mosaic law on Christians because Jesus had changed their heart. And once the heart has been changed when we receive Jesus, there's no need to be placed under the bondage of the law. Amen? So we're going to talk about salvation without the law. And we're just going to go through Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The first thing we want to look at, verses 1 through 3, is Paul's friends. First, we have the Gentile Titus. Titus was an uncircumcised Gentile believer, and he was Paul's test case. His conversion stood as evidence that one could be saved apart from the works of the law. So Paul has these friends with him. The first one is a Gentile by the name of Titus, and then the next one is a Jew by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas was a Jewish believer, and his name means the son of consolation. In Acts chapter 9, when Paul had gotten saved, or Saul of Tarsus had gotten saved, and he came to Jerusalem, it says that they were all afraid of him, and no one would accept him in Jerusalem, but Barnabas came to him and accepted him. It says Barnabas was the only one who accepted Paul, and Barnabas endorsed Paul and introduced him to the apostles. And then Acts chapter 11, revival breaks out in Antioch, and the church in Jerusalem, they send Barnabas to Antioch to check out the revival. And Barnabas gets there and sees everything's going great, and he goes, "Oh, I remember. There's this guy named Saul, or used to be Saul, he's now Paul, and he's in Tarsus. Let me go get him, bring him to Antioch, and he can help me minister in Antioch." So Barnabas brings Paul to the church in Antioch, and we were first called Christians, not in Jerusalem, but in Antioch during that time in Acts 11. And then in Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas go back to Jerusalem. Acts 11, they go to Jerusalem again and take an offering to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. So actually, Paul makes three journeys to Jerusalem. Once right after he was saved, then in Acts chapter 11, then again in Acts chapter 15. So those are Paul's friends. I want you to notice one was a Gentile, one was a Jew. Paul was a Jew. Paul's friends were not all just like him. Amen? Is it okay if we have friends that are different than us? I said on Friday, the pastor of Mosaic Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, said he has a very diverse church. And he says it's very uncomfortable to be with people that are different than you are. But the church is a place where people can be comfortable being uncomfortable. Does that make sense? If we can't be comfortable getting to know people that are different from us, then we're in trouble. And it works well in the church. I meant coming to Kuwait, I've loved getting to know my Filipino brothers and sisters. I love, is it Escaldo? Escaldo? How do you say the soup? Ariscaldo. And Ponset. Yeah. Amen. And that Filipino cheesecake. And then, you may tell, I like meeting people from different places because I like to eat. As you can tell, I haven't missed many meals. And then my Indian brothers and sisters, you know, some good curries and just, you know, things. And you can, I think every day of the year you can eat at a different restaurant in Kuwait and never reach them all. I meant they're everywhere. Every corner has a restaurant. But we need to make sure that we fellowship with people that aren't just like us. Amen? And that's what I love about CIC is we are an international church. We have people from everywhere. So Paul has these really good friends that traveled with him, but Paul also had some opponents in verse 4 and 5. And this occurred because of the false brethren that secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty with which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us unto bondage. So not only did Paul have these close friends, but he had people that were coming against him. Now, you must understand, he didn't say these were deluded Christians. He didn't say these were misinformed Christians. He said these were false Christians. The New English Bible says they were sham Christians, or bogus believers. You find folks like this around from time to time. You have to be careful that you know that the people you are fellowshipping with are true believers. Now, what's it take to be a true believer? I think by the end of this session in Galatians over the next 12 weeks, you're going to learn it's the gospel. The blood of Jesus plus what? The blood of Jesus plus what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Anytime we add to the blood of Jesus, we take away from the gospel. And then it says their method was they came in unawares. Mark 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravening wolves." So here were people that said, yeah, we're believers. We're from the church in Jerusalem. We've come here to fellowship with you. But they were coming and they were trying to infiltrate the church in Antioch so that they could bring in false doctrine and false teaching. And their purpose was, it says, to bring them into bondage. They were trying to upset the church. They were trying to make the believers less effective, make them guilty of not keeping the Jewish feast, the Jewish law, not being circumcised. And here's the sad part. They had succeeded in some measure. Because Paul says in the beginning of chapter 1, he says, "I can't believe that you guys have gone away from the gospel that I preached." In essence, what these guys were saying was Jesus was not enough for salvation. That it takes more than the cross to be saved. Now, you probably are getting tired of hearing this, but the reason we're keep talking about it is it's so important, because we have a tendency as believers sometimes to get into this works mentality. We've got this Bible reading plan that we're doing as a church, and we miss a day, and, oh no, I'm going to go to hell because I missed a day on the Bible reading plan. No. You can read the Bible through every day, and that won't get you to heaven. It'll make you a lot better person, and it'll make it easier for you to get there, but that's not what's going to get you in, okay? You know, you come home from work, you've been working 16 hours, it's time for church. You lay down for a few minutes and you wake up an hour after church is over, and now you're all guilt-ridden because you missed service. Oh no, God's going to beat me because I missed church. Can I put you at ease? Make it easy for you? It's okay every now and then to miss. Now, the day I'm supposed to preach, it probably wouldn't be good, but I have done that. Right, Dale? I don't know, did I let you know Thursday night or Friday morning? Friday morning, I woke up and I was just sick. I'm terrible sick. And I text Dale, "Hey, hope you've got something to preach. I can't make it this morning." Well, you know, we don't do that very often. It was good for him. It helped him grow, you know. And Bible says be instant in season and out of season, you know. But we need to make sure that we don't try to work our way to heaven. It's just a relationship with Jesus. Now, the flip side of that is the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Okay? Now, I do not agree with these people that say, oh, I don't go to church anywhere, I just get it online. Well, yeah, you can go to church online, you can get some good stuff online, but when you're going to the hospital, call that guy online to come visit you or pray for you, or you're broke down on the side of the 30 and you need some help, see if they'll come help you. That's why we have the body of Christ, so that we can fellowship one with another. And then in verse 5 is Paul's response. He says, we did not give in. We did not yield, not even 1 hour. We need to make sure that we stand for the gospel. We need to require or persuade ourselves first that the gospel is worth fighting for, and then to fight for it and to stand for it. See, Paul didn't require Titus to get circumcised or to keep the law to be a believer. He didn't submit to them at all. He didn't waver in their opposition or to their demands. And that's one of the things that Dell and I are trying to do at CIC, is to make sure everything we do is based on this. If it's not based on this book, we don't need to do it, okay? We're not trying to be like any other church. We're just trying to do what God has called us to do, and everything based on the scripture. In verses 6 through 10, it talks about Paul's ministry. In Paul's ministry, he had a unique calling. Paul was called to the Gentiles. Peter was called to the Jews. Paul was called to the Gentiles. Peter was effective with the Jews. He wasn't effective with the Gentiles. In so much that if you read, I think it's in, I'd have to find, okay. I know it's in the Bible, okay? I went blank. When I give the story, somebody tell me where it is. Peter is with the Gentiles, and he's fellowshipping with them, and he's eating with them, and everything's going good. Paul talks about it here in Galatians, but it's somewhere in the book of Acts that it happens. Then some guys from Jerusalem come, and Peter separates himself from the Gentiles and just spends all of his time with the Jews, and then Paul has to rebuke him. Peter was called to the Jews, and Paul was called to the Gentiles. And it was a ministry that had effective power. Effective power. You had him striking blind the sorcerer, you remember? He said, oh, I want this power to give people the Holy Spirit, and he was struck blind. Healing the cripple at Lystra, raising Eutychus from the dead. We learn a wonderful lesson from that. Don't preach too long unless you have the power to raise people from the dead. You know the story? Paul's preaching all night. This young man falls asleep in the window on the second floor, and he falls out of the window, hits the ground, and dies. They bring him to Paul. Paul raises him from the dead and keeps on preaching. Aren't you glad we don't preach like that here? Maybe tonight we'll try. No, I don't want to have to raise anybody from the dead or even wake you up. Huh? That's true. Hard to fall out of the basement window. Maybe you'll fall up. And then it says, with many other signs and wonders, Paul ministered the gospel. Peter among the Jews had many miracles. Paul among the Gentiles had many miracles. Lives were changed by the preaching of Paul, and lives were changed by the preaching of Peter. We need to go to the people that God has called us to. CIC cannot reach all of Kuwait. Do we agree on that? We can't reach the whole world, but we can reach the people that God sends us to. And who is that? It's the people that live in your building, the people that you work with, maybe the taxi driver that you are in, or the bus, or people that are with you. people that you just come in contact with in restaurants and things. So the people that God has called us to are those people that we can actually touch. I've talked to people and say, oh, Pastor, you know, I'm gonna reach the ends of the earth with the gospel. I'm gonna reach into Mongolia with the gospel. And they've never left their city. Well, I was taught in very young as a Christian, God will never send you across the ocean till first you learn how to go across the street. Amen. We can have these grand ideas of things we want to do for God. And that's great to have the dreams and to want to do that and to start pushing toward that. But we will never get there until we start here. Amen. I remember I wanted a printing press in Africa to print textbooks for my Bible school. It's a great desire, printing press. It's only about $15,000. You know what God gave me? A 1950 mimeograph machine. You probably remember these from school. That you put the alcohol in it, and it had this blue thing, and it came out with blue ink on the paper. Y'all probably, most of y'all are too young to remember those, but we remember. And it was a crank one. And so we were faithful. I cranked out hundreds of textbooks with this thing. And then God blessed me with an electric stencil machine. You know, the old one that you typed on the typewriter. And then you put the ink in the machine. Y'all are too young to remember those as well. You know, and it was, and so we started with the crank one. Then God blessed us with an electric one. And we were faithful with it. And then eventually God gave us the printing press. And it printed, I can't remember, it was like 500 copies every couple of minutes. Just. And every time it started, my kids all ran. Because they knew when the machine started, it was time to collate the books. And that was their job. I printed them, they put them together. So see, guys, it's okay when your dad has you work. It's okay. You understand? It's good for you. Gives you good work habits, okay? Effective power. Each one of us reaches certain people. So we need to make sure we reach the people that God has called us to and not try to do something that God hasn't called us to do. And then he had apostolic endorsement. The apostle said, we agree with you, Paul. The gospel you preach is the same gospel that we preach. And so we are going to endorse you. They admitted that the apostles, or they admitted him into the society of the apostles. And then the last thing in verse 10, take care of the poor. And Paul says, that's what I wanted to do. So what? All of this is good. We talked about most of this on Friday. But how does it apply to me today in Kuwait? How does it apply? Even the godliest of men will have enemies. You can't think that you will not have anybody that comes against you. Think about Joseph. Joseph had enemies. Daniel had enemies. Jesus had enemies. Paul had enemies. Good news. You're in good company. You're going to have enemies. Amen. If you are faithful to share the gospel, you will have people that come against you. But that's okay. Jesus said, the world hated me, they will hate you. Even the strongest Christians, need the support. Typo there. Thank you. Oh, awesome. It's a miracle. Did you see that? Even the strongest Christians need the support of others. Just thought about it and it just appeared. I like that. Paul was not a lone ranger. Paul wasn't on his own. Paul traveled with Barnabas and Titus. We can't do this by ourselves. You cannot stand by yourself for Christ. You can try, but it won't be very long. Things are going to happen, and you're going to need to make sure that you have somebody standing with you. Barnabas believed in Paul, and Barnabas encouraged Paul. Barnabas took a risk to become friends with Paul when no one else would. Just think for a moment. I wonder what the world would be like today. I wonder what the church would be like today if Barnabas hadn't taken the risk to become Paul's friend and take Paul under his wing and mentor him and introduce him to the apostles. When no one else would have anything to do with Paul, Barnabas reached out to him. And I believe he was demonstrating true Christian love. So we need to make sure that when God directs us to people, that we reach out to them. And we pour into them because God has put them in our life for a purpose. We really do need each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to make sure that we help people when we can. In Hebrews 10:25, I said it earlier, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's important for us to come together in corporate meetings like this and in life groups. That's why I love life groups. If you're not in a life group, let me encourage you to get in a life group. I try to visit different life groups, but my wife and I, we have our own life group that we meet out toward Wafra with a family out there that's not able to come to church right now. But it's wonderful to be able to get together. And it was so exciting last Saturday when we went out. One of the kids little guy, Joshua's size maybe, he said, it's so cool. We don't have to go to church. Church comes to us. And that's kind of what life group is. You know, church coming to your neighborhood, to your area, to where we can fellowship together. And then even the strictest obedience to the law will not save. Young man came to Jesus and says, I kept all of the law from my youth. And Jesus goes, wonderful. There's still something else you need to do. Take everything you have, give it away, and what? Follow me. So it's not the obedience to the law that saves us. It's following Jesus. Obedience cannot save us. James 2, 10 and 11 says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one part is guilty of the whole law. Doesn't take much. One little mistake and we're guilty of the whole law, for all have sinned and come short. And then Christ alone is our only hope for salvation.
It's not Jesus plus keeping the law. It's not Jesus plus doing the best you can. It's not Jesus plus living a good life. It's not Jesus plus being baptized and going to church. It's Jesus plus nothing. Amen? Jesus plus nothing. I go to church because I am saved, not to be saved. I give because I am a believer, not to become a believer. Understand? I work in church because I am a believer, not to become a believer. Abiel, would you come up? Would y'all all stand again? And I want to finish with this song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. And it is because of the solid rock of Jesus that we are here tonight. And it is only standing on that solid rock that we have hope of eternity. Okay. Father, we just come to you tonight and thank you that we stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Father, we ask for forgiveness tonight of the many times we think that because of the good life we live, or because of the amount we pray, or the amount of the Bible that we read, or the work that we do for you, that somehow that gets us extra points with you, or rises us higher in the kingdom. But Father, help us always to remember that even our most righteous day is like a filthy rag in your sight. But Father, when we come to the cross, when we come to Jesus, it doesn't matter what abomination we've done or how bad we've been. When we ask for forgiveness, you cleanse us by the blood of Christ, and you clothe us in the righteousness of your Son, so that as your sons and your daughters, we can boldly come to your throne of mercy and grace. We can crawl up in your lap and wrap our arms around your neck and cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Father, as we go through this series on the book of Galatians, help us to ever be mindful that it is Jesus at the center of everything. Father, it's not about us. It's not even about this church. It's about lifting Jesus up, because you promised that if Jesus be lifted up, then you would draw all men unto you. And Father, if Jesus is in this house, then people will come to see Jesus. And Father, we thank you that our salvation is without the law. Our salvation is strictly by faith in Jesus Christ and through the grace that you have poured out to us. The blood of Jesus plus nothing. And we thank you for it. Let me give you the benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. And may you go from this place with the peace that passes all understanding, ruling and reigning in your hearts. And may you ever proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever you go. In Jesus' name, amen.